And with that, I'll open it up then questions. Pedro, please go ahead.
Hi Alejandro, thank you for taking this call. I have only one question on expenses. You mentioned this one-off expenses related to the launch of Bima Clearing this quarter. Are there any additional or extraordinary expenses for the second half, or it was it all fulfilled this quarter?
It was all fulfilled this quarter.
Okay, so we should see like normalized expenses you were seeing like on the year end of last year. Perfect.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Closer to the first quarter of this year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. William?
Alejandro, thank you for the presentation. Good
You're welcome.
morning, good afternoon, everybody. Oh, and congrats about the IR website. Improved a lot. It was
Thank
easy
you.
to use it yesterday. But
Good,
yeah, I
good.
have two questions here. The first one being picky a little bit on the CSG revenue, right? I noticed, it fell a little bit quarter on quarter, but the AUC increased about 11%. Just wanted to understand a little bit the disconnect here, if it's
Yes.
a mixed shift or anything that maybe I could change yields expected ahead. So this is the first one. I'll ask the second one later.
Okay. Yes. So we always compare to the same quarter of the previous year because there is a seasonality in part of the revenue mix. So the first quarter and the third quarter, we have the coupons being paid by the national government on their external debt, and we charge a fee on the coupon payment. So those are quite large numbers, and we typically see in January and in July an increase in the corporate action fees, and that is the main part of the difference.
All right, thank you. And the second one here is, trying to understand about the dynamics of CDRs competing with local equities, right? And you mentioned during the call that local equity has been flat. You will launch maybe a market maker, local market maker to improve it. But I want to understand if there's a correlation, maybe because CDR is growing too much, it's taking share or maybe money out of the pockets for people to invest in local equities, if there's a correlation there. And if this growth here is, anything related to memory investments, semiconductors, and if there is a risk here, if this call, decelerate a little bit in the following months, if we should see CDRs also decelerating for you.
That's a good point, William. Thank you. And yes, we launched the CDR of SpaceX on the same day that the IPO was done in the US. 2 or 3 hours later, after the IPO, the CDR was already available to be traded locally. And SpaceX was the most traded CDR for a week, even more than SPY, which is typically the most traded in CDR. So obviously, Nvidia and the other hyperscalers, there's a lot of interest in that. And based on that, what we try to explain this, or the conclusion we have come to, is that local retail investors are investing. They're not only dollarizing their portfolio. So we have a lot of conversations about, if CDR is hedging dollar or are they investing? We believe that they are really investing. And in a way, yes, they compete, but in a way, it is the client's decision as to the investor's decision as to what they're interested in investing in, right? So it's at the end of the day, this differentiation that we do between local stocks and CDRs, the investor doesn't see it that way. He decides what he wants to invest in, regardless of where it is issued. And we always also use the example of Mercado Libre. 99.9% of investors believe that Mercado Libre is listed on our exchange. It's actually a CDR, but the investor is not looking at it that way. They're looking at the company and not the type of instrument, in other words.
All right, thank you. And if I could, Ricardo, go ahead, I'll ask later.
No, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity here to make a question. I think just a quick follow-up on William's question will be interesting to get a sense on what is the difference in terms of yield or margins from CDRs and local equities. And another second a question I would like to ask as well is if you could provide more details on all the tax measures you mentioned that has been helping the tax rate and what is reasonable to expect in terms of the tax rate for the full year. Thank you.
Sure. Very well. So the first of all, the margin, our gross margin for CDR and for local equity is practically the same. CDR have a little bit less because there is a market, we call it a market making program. It's actually a liquidity program where we provide discounts, fee discounts to brokers that are willing to be on the screen putting up liquidity for the CDR. So when you look at the 5 basis points, we also have day trading reductions in fees. And that is regardless if it's a CDR or if it's a local equity, right? So it's not, when you look at the implied revenue, it's not exactly 5 basis points. It is closer to 4.5 for equity and 4 for CDRs. So CDRs is a little bit lower, as I was saying. That was the first question. In terms of the tax, it is not income tax. This is specifically ingresos brutos, which is like a sales tax. Ingresos brutos is charged by the local government, by the provinces and the city of Buenos Aires. So what we have done is two things. First of all, two of our companies, Tecval and Caja Valores, moved their head office to an area of the city where the city gives you reductions because they want to promote that area and uplift it. And therefore, they are willing to charge less on ingresos brutos for more employees to work from those areas. That area is called specifically Parque Patricios. And we obtained, by the end of the first quarter, we had Tecval, we had the local government recognizing that Tecval had moved and reduced the tax rate. And then in the second quarter, Caja Valores, also the tax authority, reduced the tax rate because it was just a bureaucratic process that they needed to validate. For Bima, we also moved part of our footprint to Córdoba. So we opened up a large office in Córdoba, and around 50 people are hired there in Córdoba. And based on that, we obtained from the local government a reduced ingresos brutos tax as well. And there is a compensation between the different provinces. So the provinces look at your cost footprint, and you have a blended average between that cost footprint. And that is how we also are reducing ingresos brutos for Bima, for the holding company.
That's very clear. But just understand a little bit better, we did see a reduction in the income tax line, right? So if you could also elaborate a little bit more on that and what we can expect will also be very helpful. Thank you very much.
The income tax line is volatile because it will depend on the earnings, on the financial income mostly. That the volatility comes mostly from the financial income, not from the business itself. The financial income, as it moves and it depends on the component. If we make more money from the assets that we have abroad or more money on the local assets. So you will see volatility quarter to quarter based on those results. In terms of what a forecast for the year should be, the income tax is 35%. We have some mechanisms to reduce it based on some tax efficiencies that we can obtain. So a projection is probably closer to 30%.
Super clear. Thank you.
You're welcome. Carlos, please go ahead.
Hola, hello, and thank you for taking my call. And
Sure.
congratulations. So the first question is my usual one, which is whether there has been any progress in the reduction or elimination of exchange controls, or if you have any visibility whether that is something that we could expect later this year. I mean, this is one of the two or three things we are waiting for the government to do. So that would be like. And also, we have had a period of really, really low interest rates. If we go to higher interest rates, how would you expect that to affect your business, either positively or negatively in the different segments? Thank you.
You're welcome. So, first of all, in terms of FX controls, our view has been for some time, since probably since the beginning of the year, and as each month goes by, we are more sure of our view that there won't be any changes on FX controls until after the elections. The different authorities from the central bank, from the Ministry of Finance, lately have started to be more clear about this, that they don't expect to change anything, because, and here they say opposite messages, but I think that on purpose. On the one side, they're saying that they're not afraid of the FX volatility next year because they are building very strong foreign reserves. But then they also say that the volatility they had last year, they don't want that to happen again next year, and therefore they are careful about how they change anything related to FX controls. This year, they have added an FX control. It's small, it's specifically oriented at the retail in Argentina. We did not have any restrictions in sending money abroad and using the instruments that trade in dollars locally. Around 2 months ago, they implemented a 90-day minimum difference from sending out money abroad and then coming back in through the exchange. So the trend, again, was that they added a new control that was not there before, just to validate what I was talking about. That is in terms of FX. In terms of interest rates, well, let's leave for aside the relation between interest rates and asset prices, because that is obviously much harder. But in terms of higher interest rates will give us higher other operating income on our side. So that's why I was saying in this low interest rate environment, having a similar results as in the first quarter was a very good result for us in terms of the portfolio management. What we do see is that there tends to be more arbitrage in a higher fixed, higher rate environment. So when there's more inflation, we see a lot more activity in terms of arbitrage. We see that a little bit lower now with the lower interest rates. So we think that it is there is more trading activity when there are more opportunities to take money from an exchange repo, invest it in a short-term bill, or vice versa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nacho, how are you?
Hi, Ale. How are you? Good evening.
Very well, thanks.
Well, thank you for taking my question. The first one is if you can give me a head up on the cash status of Bima. The second one is if we can zoom a little on that 68% held in pesos. I don't know if you can disclose some, if the instruments are national treasury bills or bonds, if you are SER or dollar linked. And the last one is if you see that percentage held in pesos moving going forward more toward dollar, or this is a percentage you do you feel comfortable with? Thank you.
Very well. So yes, at the beginning of the year, our portfolio was much closer to 30% in dollars, but the reason for that was more of our forecast of the dividend being paid. We paid a large dividend in dollars, around $125 million, and therefore we had a large position in dollars preparing for that dividend payment. After the dividend payment, we were much closer to 60% in pesos, and again, our investment area and our investment committee decided to be more to allow the peso portfolio to grow. From a cash evolution perspective, obviously we charge in pesos, we are paid in pesos, so we generate pesos, and therefore dollarizing is really selling those pesos to buy dollars. And what I'm trying to say is we just let the peso position grow as the cash flow was being generated based on the outlook, based on, as everybody sees, a very, very strong export, probably an excess of dollars, or at least without the central bank buying dollars, clearly the price of the peso would go even lower than where it went. This second semester, we all know about the seasonality of exports, so there should be a little bit less dollar generation. So we will probably see the devaluation go closer in line with the inflation, with a forecast of inflation also dropping, right? So those are the decisions that our investment committee takes, and they are really made month by month. So it's not that we have a view for the full year. This could change in a matter of weeks, as we all know about Argentina's volatility.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ale.
You're welcome. Very well. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any. Well, thank you everyone then for joining. We have, as a reminder, you can send any question to us through our group email, ri@bima.com.ar. You probably saw Mora. Mora is a new addition to the team. For those of you that don't know her, she's also part of the group and helps us with any questions you may have. And she was actually the one that drove the changes to the investor relations website. We will be uploading the recording for this presentation as well. And with that, thank you everyone for joining and have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.